Sports Day. For Kia, the new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Red Energy, awarded Canstar's most trusted energy retailer nationally for 2021. That's Red Energy.
Petrarca down, little runner, curls its way home. And Melbourne from 19 points down are now 12 points in front. And Melbourne plough it forward again. Jackson's got it. There's time. He gives to Oliver, who steadies and drives it through. This is unbelievable. He's kicked his sixth. And the Demons go further ahead. Bailey Fritsch, six goals in a grand final. McDonald comes in and steers it through. 57 years. And the Demons thereof have been buried by the Demons of 2021.
After 57 years of pain, it's coming home.
Yes, indeed, Max. 7 minutes past six. Hello and welcome along to Sports Day. The Demons are premiers and the victory so swift after looking unlikely midway through the third quarter. It was an onslaught rarely seen in a grand final, with Essendon in 84 the only comparison I could think of. But we've seen it so many times in 2021 by this team. In round 12, Melbourne trailed Brisbane by 20 points, yet kicked 9 goals 9 in the second half to win by 23. In round 23, the Demons trailed by 32 points at three-quarter time, and in a famous victory against another premiership contender, Geelong, got home with a max kick after the final siren to win by 4 points. And so it was, just a rehearsal for grand final day. Down by 19 points, as you just heard, 12 minutes and 11 seconds into the third quarter, when the Bont, best on ground a mile at that stage, kicked his third goal to put the Dogs 19 points ahead. And then it hit. The city of Melbourne had an earthquake registering 6 last week, but the Melbourne Footy Club produced a cyclonic force in Perth that blew the Dogs off the oval and the failures of the past 6 decades into irrelevance, committed now to history as a new era begins for the Demons. The start of a dynasty? Who knows? But it's a darn good start, given the age profile and raw talent available. A great win by the Demons, and sadly, someone had to lose in an epic game. And the Dogs were so magnificent through September, only to pull up a little short at the final hurdle. So the Perth Grand Final was a raging success, great for footy, particularly for Melbourne and their fans, who will now look to repeat the dose at the MCG next year. Shortly, Matthew Lloyd to give us his thoughts, but first, a voice familiar to you all. Bruce Eva joins us for a few weeks while the Scoop has a spell. Welcome to you, Beaver. What a weekend it was.
What a weekend it was, Jared. Great opening. A strange weekend, in fact, my friend. The Australian women's cricket team lost a match. The Melbourne Storm got beat. The World Heavyweight Boxing Championship changed hands in front of 66,000 fans in London. But yes, the longest current premiership drought is over. I know the red and white part of you celebrated in 05 and 12 with your Sydney Swans, but the bigger red and blue part of you, the celebrations, I think, are going to continue for many weeks and months ahead for you. Jetta, good evening.
Oh, it's great to be here, Beaver. It was a brilliant win by the Demons, as we know, and you haven't let me down. You got boxing and cricket into the first 20 seconds of the program first up, so that's absolutely magnificent. But it was an incredible game. I just love the game. It was befitting of the season. I think we've had a great season, albeit with all these difficulties. But on the field, we've had the stand rule, which maybe needed a little tweak here and there. But it's been great to see, and it's just to see that many goals kicked in the grand final in a spectacle that was, I think, will be remembered for a long, long time. It was a perfect finish to the season.
It is really rare to have two swings of momentum in a major final. I mean, one swing of momentum, some of the most famous finals of all. The 1970 Grand Final comes to mind for Lloydie, who's about to join us, of course, the 1984 Grand Final, Essendon's withering last term. But to have two swings of momentum to such an extent. In fact, the last one I can think of involved Melbourne in that famous semi-final against the Crows back in 02, where I think Adelaide led by 30 or 40 points, then Melbourne led by 30 or 40 points, and then Adelaide won by about three goals. But that was a semi-final. We're talking about a grand final and just incredible scenes.
Well, to get his thoughts for the final time in 2021, let's welcome this bloke. Momentum swings, Lloydy. It made for a great grand final. Welcome to you.
Thanks, Jared. Beaver, they feel pretty good about themselves this morning when you wake up and you go, we win our first final by 33 points v Brisbane. I thought it flattered the Lions, that first final, because they missed so many opportunities. Brisbane were a good side going in, made them look second rate. Geelong, they haven't done a lot wrong this year, lost by 83 points, and then you win the grand final by 74 points. It's amazing that... You're right. It's an epic game. But have we ever called a 74-point game an epic game? Mm. But it was. When you look back at the history books in 20 years, you go, geez, they were belted, the Dogs. But everyone has to go, no. They were up by 19 points halfway through the third quarter, and we saw one of the most amazing 12 minutes of football that the game's ever seen by Melbourne. And when Oliver kicked that goal out of the centre bounce, and Petrarca then dribbles one through, you thought, wow. And that's what I love about this team. Forget about the history. They weren't like that. Yes, I had my doubts maybe 6-7 weeks ago, Jerry, when I was questioning their forward line. Mm. But I haven't had many doubts about them through this final series.
I thought for a long time they were the most talented side that Melbourne had ever put together. And I was saying that last year when they were getting whacked as well. But it's okay to be talented. And it's okay to show promise. You've ultimately got to produce it. And the scary thing is, I think they're only just learning how good they can be.
And I love your point that you said about the wins that they had during the year were similar to that. That's amazing belief, and the belief in the style. And they say Mark Williams went off at halftime, talking about they'd got away from the way they looked to play the game and around the centre bounce. Their pressure wasn't where it needed to be in that second quarter. It still didn't happen for them right at the start, but then it clicks back into gear. And it's like you have to beat them over 2 hours. You've got to beat good sides like Richmond. You've got to at them and at them for four quarters. Melbourne's that same team, Beaver. You have to beat them over four quarters.
That's what was really of great interest to me. It was like just how poor Melbourne were for 30 minutes. Mm. And then you'd expect them to come out firing after half time. And yet the Bond had a huge start to the third quarter. The Dogs started to look as if they were about to snatch it away. And the momentum swings in sport. That's why you turn up, because you're just never sure who's going to win, Beaver.
So true. And back to Lloydy's point, Jared, about the narrative in 20, 30 years' time. We'll look back at the final series in 20 or 30 years' time. People say, well, apart from the romance of the Demons breaking the drought, was it really such a great final series? Because we had 2 1-point games. So week one, the Swans and the Giants, and week two, the Bulldogs and the Lions. And the next closest final was that Melbourne-Brisbane week one final of 33 points, which seemed a long 33 points, didn't it? That seemed like a 50 or 60-point margin. Everything else, 35, 43, 49, and then the two prelims and the grand final, where all three games were decided by 70 points plus.
And it's because of the midfield, and they were decided by belting. I think the Dogs' midfield just belted Port Adelaide, didn't they? And then Melbourne's midfielders just destroyed everyone. I thought Neil and Lyons and those guys looked second rate in that game. Selwood, Dangerfield, whoever else was second rate. And then for large portions of this game, they got found. I don't think Libba. I now think of the size of Oliver and Petrarca and Viney to a lesser extent and Brayshaw, that the way you draft players now. So, and even Cripps. So Cripps has got the size, but he hasn't got the explosiveness. It's the size to match with the explosiveness, Jared, that no one could really handle. And then you got Luke Jackson to throw in the mix as well, which is just scary what he did on grand final day.
Yeah, I was talking to a couple of people today about this issue, Lordy. It's power.
Power, yeah.
You can be an endurance runner like McRae. You can be another endurance runner, although I think he could work on that particular element, but be big like Cripper. Like when you're big and you've got power, that's what all the gun recruiters will be looking for, because the game has shifted. And once again, a big-bodied mid has taken out the number one award. And I mean, it just emphasised once again that they are the most dominant players in the competition. How many goals did Bailey Fritz have to kick to win the medal? Because he got 6. Did he need to kick 8 to beat
Maybe
Petrarca?
That's what it is. Gary Ablett's 9. I know it was pretty special 9, but I think that's what it sort of takes at times to I remember Jack Gunston got close when Brian Lake won it. He kicked four, but a different sort of four.
Yeah.
Dermot kicked eight when Hawthorn were thrashed in 85. Mm. I don't think got close.
Jarman got six in a win, didn't he?
Yes, when McLeod won.
A bit. Sorry, Viva. You've had a hard weekend, I know.
Do you know the other rarity about, so often we talk about in the grand finals, the lower profile player who steps up? Like even with Richmond, Dusty won the three North Smiths, but like Jack Graham, you know, with his three goals, you go back over time, Shane Allen, dare I say, Glenn Freeborn in 96 with his 3 second quarter goals, but it was all the stars. It was all the star. I mean, Max Gawn's game, the dominant big man. Stephen May, even with the torn hamstring, Blankets, Norton. Bailey Fritch, this might be the first time ever, I haven't actually checked it. He actually overtook the Coleman medalist with his six goals. He's finished three goals off winning the league goal kicking. He finished three short of Tom Hawkins on 59 majors for the year. Oliver and Petrarca. Now, all the role players still did their jobs, but it was the big five or six that absolutely played at their ultimate.
We had Oliver on the Sunday Footy Show yesterday, and I spoke about his kicking and how he's always been a handball player, and what a great kick he's become. And straight away he said, "Mark Williams, I think he's behind me, but he just told me you're not a great kick. We need to get your kicking better," and we just went to work on it. I know Mark has probably spent more time than anybody on the art of kicking. I think he's done a degree or some form of course on the art of kicking, but to a man, it just keeps talking about what Mark has done. So first for Goody to let Mark come in and take over. But I haven't seen a team improve their kicking, Jared, in the space of 12 months like Melbourne have. They used to...
Langdon's a classic coach.
They used to just hack the ball inside forward 50 and waste all their opportunities, whereas their turnaround in kicking has been phenomenal.
Need to take a break. 19 minutes after 6 on the Monday night after the grand final. Matthew Lloyd is here for the Maccas Monopoly game. More Sports Day right after this.
Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Red Energy, awarded Canstar's most trusted energy retailer nationally for 2021. That's Red Energy.
We've been tapping into it for probably 4 or 5 years now in terms of our real high purpose that we have is to bring happiness and fulfillment to those around us. And that's our supporters, it's past players, it's our families, it's our kids, it's everyone that's involved in footy. And that's the greatest satisfaction you get as an individual. When you walk off the ground and you see your loved ones or you see the supporters' joy on their face, that's why you play the game. And we tapped into all of that over the last 4 or 5 years. We used Neil Danaher. We've got some great stories at our footy club.
Well, there's the coach of the Demons, Simon Goodwin, elevates himself to legendary status as a drought breaker, Lordy.
I see a lot of similarities to Damien Hardwick's first premiership where Damien spoke around he didn't like the person he'd become. He probably lost his relationships with his players. You just go into survival mode because you feel the pressure. I think Simon got to that point. And I watched Simon a lot of last year and he kept saying the same things over and over again. And I don't think he had the answers or he had how to turn this ship around. And it's interesting, he spoke after the game about trying to enjoy things a bit more, getting mentors away from football. And they spoke about, you can't control that. You worry about these aspects and don't worry about those things. You're spending too much energy on the wrong things. And it's just nice to hear that see him in total control now of his team and what he's doing compared to where he was this time last year.
But there are really solid signs at the back end of last season that probably escaped, proper inspection and proper assessment. But clearly, they knew where they were going in the back half. It's well documented that they'd had a meeting and furthered those meetings at the start of this season. And what were they, 0-9 or 9-0 at the start of the season or thereabouts? Beaver, you're a numbers man. 9-0, was it, before they lost one? Anyway. And away they went.
Darren Burgess will be a big loss, won't he?
Yes.
So I think that's an area where they just... he was in the ear of the coach. Just as they were about to hit the lead, I think he was saying, hey, our build-up, our fitness, the way we grind teams, it's coming here. Mm. So Sounds like he'll join the Adelaide Crows, Darren Burgess. So that'll be a big loss for their team. And he's earned his money, Burgess, over this period.
It's interesting, you have a win and it puts to bed a lot of accepted wisdom. Like, you can't win on one game in 28 days. You can't win if your facilities are second rate. I mean, I've heard for three decades that Melbourne need this and they need that and they need this. Well, yes, it'll be probably more comfortable if you've got them, like the facility out at Tullamarine. I mean, they've got an Optus-sized stadium ground and they've got an MCG-sized ground. But you can win if you get the personnel right. I mean, they can deal with imperfection.
Yeah, they were that good. They win anywhere. And you spoke about the dynasty potentially, or could they get on? Who knows? Because I remember when the Dogs won in 2016, I thought, what a group this is. They're going to go on with it. They never did. Blokes get ahead of themselves. You have injuries. You have all sorts of things. But Bowie was in his first season.
Yep.
Rivers, Pickett, Jackson in their second. Jordan and Sparrow in their third. And Petty, Spargo and Fritch in their fourth. So that's nine of their players in their 1 to 4 year of their career.
Yeah, I know Beaver doesn't
subscribe to that theory.
In fact, he bagged me last week for suggesting that Melbourne had set a platform. But that's all they've done. They've set a platform. You can't have a dynasty until you've done it. Mm. But the platform, Beaver, it's difficult to argue, is not there. And I know you will argue, which is I'm looking forward to
hearing. What part do you disagree with?
Sorry, no, I just think it's the easy call and it's the emotional call after such an emphatic victory. I mean, everything went right for the Demons this year. Firstly, injuries. Really, Adam Tomlinson was the only one out of their best 22 or 23. They had the chance to pick Jaden Hunt and they didn't. Mm. He overcame the ankle injury. They had 16 players who played 23 out of 25 games or more. 10 played every game. 4 only missed one game and another 2 played 23 of the 25. I just think as well there's a few of the key players who aren't going to get any better.
Like who?
Well, Max Gawn and Stephen May both turned 30 this summer. Now, Max Gawn, I know, is the preeminent big man in the competition. So that's where...
He's only 30, though, Bob. He's not 36.
Well, and he's played 150 games. So I don't,
well, that's because of injury, isn't it?
Yeah, but he's the only one who's of that. No one haven't got a 200-game player in their team.
And he'd be one of the best runners, wouldn't he? He'd be the best runner in the AFL for a ruckman.
And he's a hell of a lot better now than he was 5 years ago.
Are they going to get the same out of Ben Brown and Tom McDonald?
I mean, no one knows that.
But, no, I know. That's what I'm saying.
But they weren't amazing, though, were they? Like, they just played a role.
Ben Brown kicked 3. Yeah. I mean, he certainly added a different
mix.
He
played 13 games.
Including the last 10. Well, I agree with you. Yeah. I mean, that's where, with everything going right, that was part of my argument. Yeah. He played 3 of the first 15 games and then he played the last 10 in a row.
But I don't think it's an easy call or an emotional call. But I think what we're saying is...
But we say this, it every this, year,
no, we don't. No, we don't. We don't say that every year.
Well, hang on.
This is a call based on the build, the list build. And I looked at who's out of that side. I mean, they've got Wiedemann who could become a super player. They've got Tomlinson who can come in as a backup. Petty... is only a kid. They've got young midfielders yet to be exposed over a couple of seasons. I mean, look, they may not win another flag, but I'll tell you what, I think the chances of them winning another one in the next 3 years is much better than them not winning one.
Just on Lloydie's point, he mentioned the example of Bulldogs 2016. Mm. I reckon you can go even more recent history. West Coast in 2018 won the flag without Nick Natanui, Andrew Gaff and Brad Shepherd, all Australian players or soon to be all Australian players. Shepherd wasn't an all Australian player at the time. So, I mean, if someone had said to you at the end of the 2018 grand final, with those three players missing, that the Eagles then in the next 3 years would win one elimination final against Essendon on their home deck, you would have been laughed out of the stadium.
I think you're probably right. But I think the easy call is to say there won't be a dynasty, because if you look across 100 years, how many dynasties have there been? There have been only a few. So it's not easy, but I just look
only
at
a
Melbourne.
Few. We've had 4 since the turn of the century.
And that's why I reckon there is
Brisbane,
a chance.
Brisbane, Geelong, Richmond. Hawthorn and Richmond.
Well, I think we're going to get 5.
So that's where I think that Petrarca, Oliver, Viney, Brayshaw, I think, as I said, I'm with you. I think they're just getting a taste. They've only learnt how to play team football. I use the example of Michael Voss. He can walk in there and go, okay, guys, we've played as individuals. I think a mob down the road has just learnt that when you play for each other and you, the team rewards that they're getting, and I think they're only just touching that.
Well, I look at Cozzy. I mean, Cozzy for the first 7 weeks this year was the best small man in the game, and he's basically struggled. He's hung on and he's done okay. He's contributed like a first-year player or a second-year player. But if he does become Cyril Rioli-esque, which he's got that potential to be that. I mean, he's only going to be a 12-possession player unless he goes through the midfield. But he's a hard-tackling unit. He's got a hunger for goals. He's got a hunger for the contest. No, they're well set, the Demons, and it would be surprising if they don't have success at the MCG in the next 12 months to 24 months.
On your point, Obiva, playing in 2000, we thought, and you just don't know what's coming. So
that's my argument.
No, but I'm arguing with more so strongly against you because I think that this is a group that has a lot of growth in it, in my opinion.
So you're saying you guys didn't have a lot of growth in you in 2000?
No, we didn't know that Lappin, Voss, Ackermanis, Brown,
someone else
Lynch,
came along.
Like superstar. Like this is one of the great teams of all time. So they were coming up behind us. I don't know who that is. You never know who it is, but there was a pretty special team that needed to knock us off to beat us in 2001.
That's why it's a great debate. Let them enjoy the moment.
Yeah.
I think they are.
Thanks, Beaver. More Sports Day right after this.
Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Red Energy, awarded Canstar's most trusted energy retailer nationally for 2021. That's Red Energy.
Seven. It's time for some news headlines with Tony Tardio. Thanks to Polaris. Get Ranger confidence for the price of a quad. Visit your local Polaris dealer today. Good evening, Tony.
Good evening. The Premier is reassuring Victorians they will be allowed to have visitors to their home in time for Christmas. New South Wales says a 90% vaccination threshold by December 1st would allow an unlimited number of home visitors, the reopening of nightclubs and the removal of masks in offices. Daniel Andrews says Victoria needs to focus on hitting 70 and 80% before we consider the same threshold. 705 cases of COVID in Victoria today. A Darebin man aged in his 70s has died. Qantas has cancelled most of its flights scheduled from Western Australia to Melbourne and Sydney over the summer. The decision has been made because of the WA government's reluctance to reopen the border. And police are investigating a stalking incident at Donvale on the weekend. Investigators have been told an unknown man followed a 59-year-old woman along Eastlink Trail and chased her when she began running and calling for help. A passing cyclist eventually came to the woman's aid and walked her back to her car. More news at 7.
Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Red Energy, awarded Canstar's most trusted energy retailer nationally for 2021. That's Red Energy. A Continental Tyres AFL Trade Radio update. For Continental Tyres, when everything counts, count on Continental.
And there's already some movement or plenty of names being thrown about Jeddah and Lloydy regarding the Trade Week doesn't officially start till next week. But as
Trade
we know,
Week's already started.
It's already started because Trade Radio started. So St Kilda's Ben Long has become the subject of early trade talks with rival clubs making some inquiries as to whether he'd be open to a move away from Moorabbin. Still contracted for next year is Ben Long.
Would
Lloydy.
He be a big loss or not?
Not a massive loss, no, but I think, I mean, his best
What's
is
his
pretty,
best position, Beaver?
Well, that's a very good question, Jared, because he's been used at both ends at times with very good effect and at other times he's been very ineffective. Finished the season as a sort of defensive pressuring forward.
And did a pretty good job.
Yeah. After being out of form as a halfback, yet he started as a halfback in 2020. So we'll watch that one with interest over the next couple of weeks. Now, Hamish Hartlett, the Port Adelaide veteran, said today he's hopeful of finding another club after being delisted by Port Adelaide. Will he find one?
Oh, he's a chance, but it all depends on economics. I mean, he's prepared to go and play for base wages and, you know, just try his hand. I think he'll get a Guernsey, Lloyd. He's 31 years of age.
He can really play Hamish, but with his injury history, he's probably up against it.
And also some reports that Port Adelaide has shown preliminary interest in Hawthorn forward Tim O'Brien, who some say was a little unlucky to miss out on the mark of the year this year.
It's an interesting one. Like Tim, he plays some, has some good moments, but never ever consistent. And
they've already got Georgiades and Marshall.
I just wonder.
Out, going to play him down back.
Out Trent McKenzie.
Maybe down back.
And Tim, can you be our key backman?
So McKenzie and Cleary out.
Yep.
It's been an undersized back line for a few years there at Albion. We need to
take
about
a Josh
break.
Battle? Is he settled? Or is there a fight over Battle?
I hope so. We'll discuss that next. In fact, football broadcasting royalty to join us next. Dennis Cometti, up next live on Sports Day.
When you need tyres, ask for Continental. Continental-tyres.com.au. Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Red Energy, awarded Canstar's most trusted energy retailer nationally for 2021. That's Red Energy.
Wilson, like a cork in the ocean over his head. Oh, my word!
This is a virtuoso performance. He will leave tonight and get on the team bus with a violin case. I'm going to say it, Bruce. That was centimetre perfect. What a kick.
Hello and welcome back to Sports Day. We're powered by Red Energy, awarded Canstar's most trusted energy retailer nationally for 2021, and the new Kia Niro electric SUV, which has now landed. Well, he's one of the greats, and on Saturday, allegedly, he called his final AFL game a grand final, fittingly, in Perth. Dennis Cometti joins us. Welcome to you, Dennis, and congratulations on a brilliant career. You've entertained us all magnificently for a few decades. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Jared. Great to hear your voice. You're not taking it as being gospel, though, are you, that I'm retiring?
No,
I can hear that in your voice.
No, I'm a doubting Thomas, I've got to say, and I look forward to your comeback. It's going to be hard to beat a grand final in Perth, Dennis. What a fitting way to go out, if in fact that's it.
It is it. But it was a fantastic game, wasn't it? A strange game. I've never seen one quite like it. Both teams looked certain to win at various times, and it didn't work out that way, did it? They were just two sides that went at it for, well, 2.5 quarters, and then suddenly Melbourne ran riot. It was a good day for me because as a kid I used to barrack for Melbourne.
Yep.
My first jumper was a Melbourne jumper, and then I went sort of via the Bulldogs to 3DB. I played a few reserves games for the Bulldogs back in 70, I think it was, or 71. So fond memories of both those clubs.
We'll get to the game in a tick, but tell me about Perth. Oh. And you must be proud of your old town.
Yeah, they turned it on, didn't they? And, of course, they're lucky because most people are healthy over here at the moment in terms of COVID. I look east and it's a terrible thing that's happening over there. So I think it was certainly great for the city, and I hope it was a lift for people in Melbourne watching the game. It was a lovely day, and as I say, both sides had their chances. And then they saw, when it became one-sided, they saw a virtuoso performance from Melbourne. I mean, Melbourne were outstanding. I mean, Petrarca, he reminded me of Lee Matthews XL. Yep. I mean, he's just a bigger and quicker. I mean, you know, Lee would have trouble dealing with him, I reckon.
Yeah, he'd have one way dealing with it. I don't think he'd get away with it these days.
Dennis, you can't do that anymore, can you?
Dennis, you've broadcast from suburban venues in Perth, the famous old suburban venues here in Melbourne, of course, grand finals at the MCG. With 100,000 people. For those that haven't been to the new Perth Stadium, just talk us through it from a broadcaster's perspective as to just what an amazing cauldron it is.
Well, there's just more room. You know, it's a bigger place. It's a more modern place. That's not putting the MCG down because I love the MCG. You know, cricket, football, I've had some wonderful memories from the MCG. So this is not one better than the other. They're just from different eras. Now, a lot to be said for the MCG. I believe in tradition. So I don't know whether you could do this again. It's hard to say. I just love the stadium. It's brand new. Everything sparkles. There's so much space. It's all about space. And I think even more leg room. There'd have to be, wouldn't there? But so it's new, and it's got that advantage over the MCG. It's one of the great stadiums in the world. There's no question. But other stadiums will be built, and they'll become great stadiums of the world. That's the way it goes when it comes to stadia.
Hey, Dennis, congratulations on an outstanding career. I've just loved listening to you call, and even some of my games being part of hearing you call my name was a real thrill. I've got a couple of questions. I know you've probably been asked this 1,000 times before, but the player you enjoyed calling most and the game that you loved calling the most over your journey.
Well, I think the 89 grand final stands out for a whole range of reasons, but that was a spectacular game, sensational start. You didn't have to wait long. Mm. In fact, I was looking back over my left shoulder to see what the heck had happened, but it was a terrific game. And when you look at the figures of, say, a game like that compared to what we've seen in the last decade, the number of possessions in games, it was about a third. It just went from end to end, goals, Ablett, you know, the whole thing. So that's one of the great games I saw. And State of Origin. I mean, nothing was purer than State of Origin. Undercoached, which was a good thing, and the best players in the country coming together. And they meant it. I mean, they didn't come over here for a free ride. They came over here to try and win games against South Australia or Western Australia, the Victorians. And, of course, the other way around. We didn't play too many State of Origin games in Melbourne, though, but certainly in Perth and Adelaide, that really rejuvenated football. Not that it needed too much rejuvenation, but that was an extra step that we hadn't seen coming, and it was magnificent.
And the player, sorry, Dennis?
Did I say a player? Well, Lee would be one. Polly would be another. I played with Polly back in the 60s, and he was very good to me, Polly. I think I may have been known as Polly's pet at one stage. I got very close to Polly. And then, let me see, other players, too many. I'm going to leave some out that probably, when I think back about the interview, I didn't list any. So Farmer, certainly. Cable, brilliant. Now, they're both West Australians. I saw a lot of them. But Cable, both of those players proved their worth when they went to Victoria. Ebert, I like very much. And as far as the Victorians are concerned, I mentioned Lee. I go back a ways over there. My favourites actually turned up over here. A lot of Melbourne players in particular came to Western Australia. So I saw Bob Johnson probably in his prime. He coached a premiership side over here. Hassan Mann was another great player who came from Victoria and coached a premiership side in Perth. Don Williams, who was another great player. All these names, Jared, you'd recognise. Mm. Don Williams came over and he played for West Perth and played in the premiership. And ironically, the coach of that team was Arthur Oliver from the Western Bulldogs. And my first league coach over here was Bob Spargo, whose grandson played for Melbourne the other day.
Yes, and he's now a premiership player. Dennis, going to ask you about the game. You've seen, you know, probably in my view, the best era was early 90s. It's gone through this really congested era. It seems to me to be coming out the back or coming out the front, as it was with Petrarca getting all those goals from the front half of the squared. Are you happy with where the game is evolving to at the moment?
Yeah, I think it's getting better. I think it's sort of come out of the doldrums. When you look at the possessions in that game I was talking about back in 89, they were probably less than a half of what they were doing, you know, sort of 4 or 5 years ago. So that's remarkable in its way, isn't it? Where did those possessions go with far less scoring? So it went backwards. It was hard to watch at times. But now I think, unlike you, I mean, when you saw that free running at the weekend, of course, these were the best two sides. Yep. But they had runners. We knew that going in. Fancy trying to stand in Petrarca's way. I mean, if you're 20 metres gone from the centre, he was gone. You know, like you couldn't bring him down. And that sort of player is so exciting. As I said before, Lee couldn't catch him, and I doubt Lee could knock him over. But as you said, probably Lee had his own measures that he could take. But it's terrific. That game at the weekend, when both sides could win it, now we say that often when we see games, either side could win. But really, you get a feeling that one side's on top. But I've never seen such movements one way and the other happen so quickly. I mean, halfway through that third quarter, you were going to put your house on the Western Bulldogs, and then suddenly, by three-quarter time, Melbourne are about, three and a half goals in front.
Yep.
Will you still go to the footy next year, Dennis? And if not, how will you fill in your weekends?
Well, no, I'll go to the footy. Well, I don't know if I'll go, but I will certainly watch it on television. I mean, it's a smorgasbord on TV. If the game is not going, you know, sort of as you'd like it to go, or if it's one-sided, then maybe you can just switch channels and get another game. It's just terrific, the coverage now. No one can argue with that. And, you know, everyone's doing a terrific job covering it, no question.
Do you have a favourite young ball-by-ball broadcaster, Dennis, that you'd like to put on the map?
Yeah, I may have, but I wouldn't want to put it on radio.
I see.
I'm just stunned by how good a lot of the guys are. You know, like, I think they're just getting better and better. And, you know, they're fresh-faced and they bring some new ideas. And that's the thing. I think what you're looking for in broadcasting, whether it be football or broadcasting in general, you know, you need people who are the real deal and bring something unique to the contest or the broadcast, whatever it might be. And I think there are plenty of those around, and a lot of we're going to get a lot better.
Before we let you go, Dennis, who finishes higher next year, the West Coast Eagles or the Fremantle Dockers?
That's a very good question, isn't it? They've got nothing to trade, West Coast. I mean, getting Kelly back for two first-round draft picks and not taking him when they had four guys at him with no other team sort of in the marketplace. I mean, he was playing local football. They could have drafted him any one of 4 years and just put him on the rookie list. And they go then when he plays at Geelong and does so well and give up two first-round draft picks. Now, I think they pick midway through next year. When the draft's on, I think their first round pick is midway through the first round. Mm. Nothing then until about in the 20s in the second round. I can't see how they get better. Maybe one last hurrah. That's the best I can do. But I think they're going to be hard pressed for the next decade. I don't see it getting easily fixed.
Dennis, I have had a great pleasure over many decades both working with you and listening to you broadcast all manner of sports. It's been a great pleasure for us, and I'm sure all of our listening audience would join me in by saying congratulations. Thanks for your input to the sport. You've been absolutely brilliant, and have a great retirement, if it is so.
Don't say that. good on you, Jared. I don't think, I'm being honest here, I don't think that I've worked with too many more insightful experts than yourself. And it's good to hear your voice.
You're very kind, Dennis. All the best, mate, and have a great retirement. Dennis Cometti, the great Dennis Cometti. What a fantastic contribution he has made. Matthew Lloyd's here for Macca's Monopoly game. Lloydie's top sevens up next.
Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Red Energy, awarded Canstar's most trusted energy retailer nationally for 2021. That's Red Energy. Matthew Lloyd's top seven for Kia, where the new Niro electric SUV range has now landed.
Well, we've got a couple of top sevens, thanks to Matthew Lloyd. And the big one, of course, is for the Matthew Lloyd medal for the best player through the final series. But let's warm us up, thanks to Kia. Lloydie, with your top seven big young men in footy, can you define big?
Around that 200-centimetre mark, and it's off the back of Luke Jackson's grand final, Jared. Okay. That's what's got me to this idea. So number seven, this is how I view their careers will pan out. Not where they sit right now.
Yes,
so
okay.
Number seven, Logan McDonald from the Sydney Swans. Once Buddy moves on, I think he's going to find his spot. I think he played better when Buddy wasn't in the side.
Indeed, yep.
So Logan McDonald. At number six, the wingman. I don't know where he'll finish up in his career, but Nick Cox at number six. Yeah. Number five, I hope this guy gets a good run at it, because he could, well, shoot even higher up this order. Rowan Marshall at five. Four, the Coleman medalist, Harry Mackay. Mm-hmm. I've got Jackson at three.
Luke
Jackson at number three.
Big year, wasn't it?
It was out of the King Twins for 2-1. I've gone with Ben at number two, and I think Max, because of his ability to take pack marks at number one. But the Matthew Lloyd medal, Jared?
Okay, the Matthew Lloyd medal. Can you give us your grand final votes before we go to the big award?
One, Bontempelli. Two, Caleb Daniel. Three, Christian Salem. Four, Brayshaw. Five, Oliver. Six, Fritsch. And seven, Christian Petrarca.
And the winner, as the music starts to tell me, we've got to hurry up, the winner of the Matthew Lloyd inaugural Best Player of the Final Series is Christian Petrarca on 18 votes, ahead of Clayton Oliver on 12. Bailey Smith failed to salute in the grand final. He got 11. Jack McRae got 10. Tom Hawkins, 7. And Max Gawn was next best. Great to have you in, Beaver. We'll see you tomorrow night. Lloydie, you've had a fantastic season.
And I'm back next Monday, though.
We will see you next Monday with your final top seven.
Thanks, Jared.